Welcome to the program. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Sammy McKee, Justin Bourne, Derek Brandeo, and Jake Schultz, Jake the Snake. Here for the next 2 hours as we get ever so closer to a NHL trade deadline freeze.
Are we?
Yes.
Doesn't feel like we're getting
close. No, we're getting close.
I know. We're under 24 hours.
We are. This, of course, coming off the heels of a 29-save performance by Aiden Hill in Las Vegas, where the Toronto Maple Leafs lost quite convincingly.
Sure did.
So I'll give you guys the choice. We go game, we go trade deadline, but I think you're going to have to do it on your own from now on. I'm not speaking until the Leafs make a trade. Starting now.
God, I hope you get to talk again soon.
Please speak.
My Lord, we're going to talk about the game. We have to. But I can't say that the top of my mind isn't like, what's going on here? With nothing. Nothing for the Leafs. The Florida Panthers have made several trades in the last.
I've got no answer for you. Other than they've got something going on. There's absolutely no chance that they do nothing or they do something of, I don't know, insignificance.
Little consequence.
They waived Ryan Reeves. That's the first domino.
They need a centerman. They will end up with a centerman. The only thing is last night.
Yeah, they need 2D after watching last night.
What is last night? What is the message off of last night where you just go, we played a Stanley Cup contending team in Vegas. Did they show us something? Is there more that we need? Do we not go as big as we thought we'd go and then spread it out to more two even ones? Is there a center, a winger, and a D-man out there?
I know. I'm more than ever just like on this they need defense train. Like I just look at the teams that win cups and how good their D-cores are. But last night was very unusual for this Leafs team in the amount of players that got behind the D. I don't remember seeing so many breakaways, two-on-ones, you know, broken plays where the other team was just in alone. Yeah. Did it not feel unusual?
We've seen the Leafs on a stretch pass all season long hit Willie, especially Willie.
Yeah, but lots of guys have been behind
the almost like
D.
It was like a role reversal last night where it's just Vegas had break after break, and the gap between forwards and defense was the size of a football field. Yep. And the score could have been a lot uglier.
Yeah. I mean, I went back today and I watched all the Vegas chances again. SportLogic has them by A grade, B, C grade. I watched them all. And it's like, God, the Leafs goaltending, as much as we're going to say they let in some squeakers here today, I'm sure we're going to get to that. They had to make a lot of saves, breakaway saves, tip saves. So they put them in a tough spot last night and created nothing.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of schedule talk going on. Mm-hmm. And I went through the audio today in preparation of our show, cutting the clips like I usually do. And I'm not sure which reporter it was asking, but every single person or person from the game, they asked, like, is the schedule, are you guys feeling the schedule? Is the schedule, and all of them to a man, not an excuse, all this, all that. But I think there's two ways to look at last night's game. And I'm sure the way, maybe not totally flush it, but I'm sure there's part of Craig Berube that's like, yeah, the part of it's a burn the tape situation. Part of it, maybe not. Like, that's a tough game. Just come home, back on the road. Vegas, one of the best teams in the league, on fire. You're tired from all this travel.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the glass half
full. Actually, you know what? I'll take that for this show. That's a fair take.
But.
No, I'm not buying it.
But.
Damn.
I look at that roster they played last night. I'm like, yeah, that's a contender. That's what a contending National Hockey League team looks like with that decor and with that, you know, that forward depth and the size of that team. So as much as you want to give the Leafs a little bit of a break for the crazy schedule, and it's a bit of a scheduled loss and all that stuff.
God, I'm starting to really hate that term, by the way.
Scheduled loss?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm not using it. I'm just saying, I think that there's a big, big gap between the Leafs and Vegas Golden Knights.
Hmm.
I do. You don't get the same sense?
I don't know if it's a big gap.
Really?
No. But I all that other stuff is true, but Kip is about to...
No, I'm fine. I look at the schedule, and it's really goofy. It is. It's... Where do they end up going? Chicago.
They have 11 to 12
Boston,
games on the road
Rangers,
here.
Rangers, Pitt. It's goofy.
Yeah,
but
like, when are you ever going to cut them slack? Ever?
No.
I'm not asking you specifically.
Yeah. I'd feel a lot better about it if it didn't come off of a very healthy four nations break for 90% of the lineup.
Or how about off a loss to San Jose as well? Isn't that maybe colors it a bit?
The other thing, too, is, again, I can appreciate some teams that they've played recently, non-playoff teams. But we've often talked on this show that you can play 82 games in a season, and how many true measuring stick games do you get? Yep. And this one was one of them, and we're going to have another one Saturday night. These are good hockey clubs against world-class talent. Mm-hmm. And that alone should say, boys, let's see what we're made of. Mm-hmm. Let's see what we're up against the very best here. And that's the disappointing part of last night, not how tired you are or looking at the schedule and trying to pick scheduled losses. This is like a rare game where you go up against the very best or one of the very best, and you go, boys, let's see what we're made of.
The other part of that, though, Kip, is there's been a lot of nights, not a lot, but there's been nights where they've been outplayed by teams where the goalies just make the save. They just didn't get the saves last night. They have typically got all season long, right? Like, there's a couple that go in, you go, oh, Joe Woll usually makes that save. Any concern that he's put together a couple performances in a row where you're like, eh?
The concern isn't anywhere differently today than it was, I think, basically all season long, where we go two components, especially with Woll, is can he stay healthy? And then you bring in Stolarz in the conversation. You're like, okay, what are these guys going to be like when the pressure is really on and they don't have that experience,
right?
This they're both going into territory where they've never really truly been before.
Stolarz has never started a playoff game.
Well,
Joe Woll is now 8 games over his career high.
So you
in starts you at 33.
You can't underestimate right now the amount of now ongoing pressure on these guys, and that. In many ways, they've been relied on heavily.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, there's some nights when they must be very tired. I think that last night was the first game for me where they've gotten into holes. And I think, especially Stolarz, for me, he's almost been near perfect where I said to myself, he can't let in the next goal. The Leafs need to get the next goal, and they're right back in the hockey game.
Yeah.
And to me, it's felt like he's done that a lot this year. Last night, Woll's in, and they both gave up that goal that they could not give up to keep their team in a hockey game. And that's just, hey, they're human. They can rebound and pick up where they left off, or maybe the weight of where they are and the pressure now to understand Florida got better, Tampa Bay got better. We got to win the division. Mm-hmm. I got to be there for them. They need me. And that can start weighing on shoulders that have never experienced that before.
Yeah, it could be. Tough to speculate on that. The good news is we have the coaching staff. We have Mr. Berube several times on Woll and the overview of the game and the travel and all these things we're talking about.
If we're talking about Woll, let's play the clip 5 on Woll.
Well, I mean, if you asked him, he probably wanted the first two goals back. The Eichel shot's a pretty good shot. I mean, he's a ripper, top shelf, so I don't know what he can do on that one.
Yeah, I agree.
He's talking about Eichel's?
I thought the first one, he was swimming, kind of got lost, leaves a wide open net. Second one's obviously has a big time stench to it, but that's
the backhand.
Yes, the Howden backhand.
I haven't seen a goal like that all year.
Yeah.
Well,
and
not
I understand
that bad.
They're tricky, but
Pittsburgh, Sydney, and Pittsburgh. That okay. was pretty right. bad too.
I'm talking all season long, not just in the last
okay.
week.
Yeah,
okay.
we're starting to see some slide there with some of these going in.
Yes.
I know we have a lot more to do on that, but I know we have lots going on, lots to talk about. So I just want to make sure we talk about Matthew Nyes off the top. Fights White Cloud, guy who hit him clean.
Yeah, we kind of slept on that history a little bit.
Yeah, we did. But I think because it was a clean hit. Well, and there's people out there, maybe Sam doesn't like it or whatever, but.
I didn't like it.
Right.
I'm glad he had a memory on it.
It's a hit to you. I'm glad he physically has a memory after the hit. But holy smokes, he punch-sized White Cloud's face. I mean, I know that Nyes is big, but he's a college guy.
Guys have come out of college and learned how to fight real quick.
Yeah, White Cloud's a big guy, and he went, oh, no. He was just like, what have I done?
Yeah.
That was pretty impressive.
Is that his second fight or third fight?
Yeah, he fought in Pittsburgh, right?
Do you remember the one in Toronto?
Left, White Cloud's like, please stop.
Now,
White Cloud just was like, I got to get this guy to the ground.
It did bring back memories of me being real early
That's
in my
you,
career.
Lefty.
Oh,
and
my God.
I've caught a few guys early, and then they catch on. I'm a lefty, and then...
Next fight's different.
Then a few fights later are different, but...
I remember my dad.
You wish it would have had a better effect on that first period.
Yeah,
That's all.
You know, particularly coming off like Canada-U.S. game starts of the fight energy, it felt like now we're in for one, and then Vegas just breaks off.
It's funny that you say that because we have a clip of Riley talking about the fight. Clip one, Riley.
I thought it was great. Obviously a great player and an important piece to what we're doing. And, a young guy making a statement like that, I thought was powerful.
I mean, wasn't that powerful. You just got filled in after that.
Yeah, the team got filled in after. But, maybe it's more powerful, a statement about him. Here's what I'll say, and I know, Kip, that you think this is how it should be, but I like that he at least will do it. There are some big guys who just still, they just won't ever do it. There's no situation. Auston Matthews is not going to fight you. Like, I understand that he had that Stamkos thing or whatever, but like, there's no amount of, he can't get there. And Nyes can get there. And I like that he can get there. Even if he, got to talk himself into it pregame, whatever. I like that. I think that helps.
Yeah. For me, again, I don't want to get bogged down on the actual having to drop your gloves and fight. Mm-hmm. I want to get into being a physical presence most nights. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to do what he did last night to go to a next level. What you have to do is give your opponents the idea that I can get there if I have to.
Right.
So don't mess around.
But I do think this helps send that message.
And he doesn't do that yet.
No.
He can get lost for a week, 10 days, and it's like...
But he's going to score 30 goals at 22 years old. He's not just going to run around and show people I'm
But you have to score 30 goals, and you have to... You're big enough, strong enough where you need to be... And we're talking about now turning yourself into one of the best power forwards in the game.
If that's your expectation, right? That's fine. But you're talking about a $10 million guy or whatever, an $8 million guy.
We're already talking about him. We're already talking about him as his next contract being $8 million.
Okay, then yes.
Right? But that's his next level. Mm-hmm. And if he does that a few more times and you gain the reputation, then you don't have to do it all the time. But you need to... Send people that message that I can and I will if I have to.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And
absolutely.
Not get lost for long stretches.
You want Berube on that?
Yeah, let's play it.
Clip four, please.
I think going back to that hit, he wanted some redemption. I give him a lot of credit to do that and get it out of the way early and then go play hockey.
I give White Cloud credit too.
giving him the fight.
Taking it. I guess you have to there. I mean, it's a tough spot, but, you know, he had to fight a massive mule of a guy, punched him four times in the face. So they get the last laugh, they win, whatever, but.
I wish they didn't go quite as quietly to the rest of the team.
Yeah, that really reflects and like, on it.
I'm watching.
But did you think they were that bad at the start of that game?
No,
I thought they had some jump.
They had eight shots on goal. Four of them were on the first power play. Yeah. They were down 1-0, but they had eight or nine quality shots on goal.
But, Kipper, they were the concerning version of themselves where it looks like years past where they control play. Oh, yeah, defense. Control play. Wow. Oh, yeah, crap, defense. You know, like, mistakes, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, the one that kind of sucked was you got an offensive zone face-off. You won it, and I think it was Myers that tried to go D to D, and buried McCabe.
Yeah. Had no shot to do it. He had no chance to do anything.
I think it was Saad that blocked it, and then it's like a lazy fly ball that's lost in the sun. He looked like an outfielder that couldn't pick it up. Got E1 written all over it.
I didn't hate the idea, though, that he was like recognized a 2-on-1, but you got to err on the side of not letting the guy go to the net.
No, pick one.
Yeah.
Though, don't get caught flat-footed and then just sit in the middle because now you've given up on the net front presence and you're not close enough to pick up the trailer.
Yeah, it didn't work out. Towards the guy with the puck,
Go back to Myers. Down the wall, my friend.
Yeah.
Myers should be
down the wall all the time. Like, I understand he loves to shoot it.
He's an irrational confidence guy, and he's the worst. That's not the type of guy you want to have be that.
And that's, again, the biggest thing that stuck out to me is, like, okay, look at that defense, and then look at that defense. Mm-hmm. To your point on Myers is just Timmins and Benoit. That's half your blue line
right there. Can't have Myers, Timmins, and Benoit.
That's where you got to seriously think about stepping up. Is it Ritsalainen? Is it, someone else? Like even that Lindgren that the Rangers got rid of, you know?
Sure.
So, I mean, you need another guy that could maybe go 18 minutes.
You do.
That's what they need, an 18-minute guy, not a third pair, 10 to 12 minutes.
My guy Colton Parayko's he's off, too. He's out for 6 weeks with a knee scope after last night.
But, you know, you mentioned you can't have Myers, Benoit, and Timmins be half of your decor. You especially can't have it when the way Riley and Oliver Ekman-Larsson are playing together. Like, you just if you're going to have those three guys, you have to have confidence in your high-paid guys, and it's another dash two night from Riley and Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Not having Tanev kills this team.
It does. They totally got killed. I don't know which goal it was, but, like, Oliver Ekman-Larsson loses a battle on the boards. Riley's already been rubbed out. They're just wide open right in front of the net. It's just that pairing is a problem, and they keep going back to it because they have no other options, but, like, you need – I guess we talked about Riley enough, but it's just – it's a problem.
Well, but Riley is – better offensively, I find, the last month. He's getting points again. He's involved in the offense. But, yeah, the defense, he's never been, like, lock-it-down D guy. But he could be better. Tanev comes back. You bring in a guy. All of a sudden, it's a totally different feeling decor. But, boy, it needs to be a guy and not, here's another player who can play you 13 minutes on the third pair.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I got to think that the focus as we speak probably as much on the blue line than it is the centerman right now.
I hope so. So my belief right now, Kip, it feels like they have something with a team, something sort of tentatively agreed to, and they're just waiting to see if that other team does something else.
They're dangerous games because what you think you might have on the line could disappear for you in a moment's notice. So,
and we're saying it just feels like the deadline they get Luke Kuhn and no one else.
No,
I cannot believe that for a second. I'd be like dumbfounded.
Before we move on from it towards more trade stuff, I wanted to ask you both about something in that game last night that stunned me. And Leafs are down 5-0. They go on the power play, and Auston Matthews shoots one in the net.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And does a like pretty big fist pump. And I'm not mad at him for doing that, but Austin Matthews frowns when he scores most goals. Like, if it's not a big moment or a big goal, like, he's not showing any emotion. He scores so many goals. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a little thing that's a peek inside what's going on with him right now.
He's frustrated.
Like, you saw him slam the gate a little bit. Like, you never, ever see that from him. And I don't know if it's just because it's not entering the net for him, if he's hurt, if he's not there mentally. But, like, that to me was a bit of a peek inside. I don't know if I'm reading too much into it, but I was surprised to see him do that.
Well, for the record, I had my morning skate today. And we were down 4-0 in the game. I made it 4-1, and I was really excited.
Down to a knee?
Yeah. I gave it a pump. I gave it a couple of pumps.
It feels good Archer? To shoot
it,
in
it
the
was
net.
Just Archer? A, it didn't even shoot in the net. It was a slight redirect, short side. Yeah. The goaltender, I think it was Mike, that had his toe on the post, but I snuck it in.
Yeah.
And I was like,
pumped.
Was good. I was Austin.
And, you know, if you go long enough as a guy who lives on scoring goals, I'm sure it is bugging him.
But do you know what I mean, though? Like, unless it's a big moment, big goal where he'll do a really exaggerated celebration, years past, he's not even, like, looking. He's just, like, head down off the ice. Like, it's just having him.
Honestly, it's.
Maybe I'm reading too much.
Okay. Well, I don't know what you're reading into.
Well, no, it's just, like, this guy is really, really at a frustrating point of a season that we've never seen from him.
And I think he found on the shot.
Yeah, like.
And it threw off Hill, and Hill couldn't even corral it. It was a bit of a gift.
Yeah, I think.
It was not a typical Austin Matthews.
No. But he just knows how to score. Puck lands on a stick.
Pull and release.
But
you know?
I do think, Sam, that, like, when you struggle as much as he's struggled, you know, and again, people are like upset at that online that we're saying he's struggling and he's going to score 40 goals, but this is a different type of player.
You make more than Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah, and his expectations are a lot higher than this. I think when you've struggled like that, you know, these are the little ones that you hope can get the ball rolling.
I watched him last night early. He's handling the puck like it's a grenade.
It's jumping off his stick
it's
all the
time.
Not
even close.
I know.
Not even close.
Yeah, see, that's a weird thing, right?
Okay. It's a bit of a weird thing.
Anything.
Used to be glued to his stick.
Yes. And a stick of steel. He couldn't lift it up. Couldn't check it off of him. And it's got to be confidence or lack of it, right?
Well, maybe this one will get him rolling. Get him rolling in the right direction.
So what you're telling me is that I would read too much into that.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that when you put yourself at the mercy of the public judging your reactions to things and trying to guess your mental state when you struggle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're fine to read into that, I think.
By the way, Kipper, I scored a couple this morning.
Did you?
Yeah. You want to hear about them or no?
I organized hockey and
I can tell you about them.
Did we do Berube on wall? You want to get?
We did do it.
We did do it.
Yeah,
we did two clips.
Well, the one on the poll. The one on the poll was he just basically said that he was trying to wake the guys up. First time he's ever been pulled in his career, due to performance.
Really?
Yeah, and he's obviously been pulled because he's been hurt a few times and he's come out of the game. But it's the first time ever that he's been pulled.
Did he comment on that? No, he
didn't say anything.
He looked a little bothered by it on the bench, a little rattled.
His season numbers are climbing.
Do you think the Leafs?
Yes, he's a 905 save percentage and a 278 goals against.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think the Leafs, whatever their peak best that you've seen them this year, that they can compete against a team like that over seven games?
Yeah, I do. I mean, assuming they're going to add a couple players.
No.
Oh, as presently constituted?
Yeah, just now.
Yeah, I do. I do. I don't think they're better than them.
Do I get Tanev?
Sure you do.
Yeah, okay, then yeah, I do.
Okay, but they get Theodore.
Oh, and that? Well, you're talking about, I thought you were talking about like in general. But against
a seven-game series right now, do you like that
I think
the
it'll
Leafs
be an absolute,
could compete with that team?
I think
the
it'll
Leafs
be a fight.
Came in. I don't know what they were, fourth overall.
Yeah,
like that's a top five team all season long.
Yes, yeah.
I'm asking you: do you think that in a seven-game series that the Leafs, as is, can compete against that team?
I will not let a one-game bias ruin me to the fact that this is a good team. Yeah, I do.
I think so too. I mean. And if they're competing against them in a seven-game series, it means it's in the Stanley Cup final. So I'm pretty happy with a lot of outcomes there.
But the biggest thing we need to hear from is you don't. And why?
They're not big enough.
You think the Leafs are big enough?
The Leafs are not big enough to go against that team. I think I saw last night the biggest team I've seen all year. They're heavy. They're fast. And
I don't like that team nearly as much as you.
You don't like Vegas?
I like Vegas,
and I think they're really big. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they've got one guy the size of Marner, let alone Nick Robertson.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and Domi's not very big either. But the Leafs, I will say the one thing with the Leafs, they have big guys that are not that physical. Lorenz is not a mean guy.
I didn't see anything that said we want to, other than Nyes, to start the game.
McMahon,
I didn't see
Nyes,
I didn't
Matthews,
see anybody go toe to toe, shoulder to shoulder,
mm-hmm.
and get that hard forecheck. But that's the only concerning part.
Mm-hmm.
And does it trickle down to, what do you think about going up against Florida now? Because, you know, Leaf fans will take probably a 5-game series loss against Vegas if it means you're in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah,
listen, it would be the most heartbreaking thing of my life, but I'd kill for that heartbreak.
Yeah.
But
it's not Vegas. Yeah. You're thinking about like the physicalities of a Florida Panthers team now and whether or not the Leafs will be prepared to play that Berube kind of heavy style. Would they be ready for that? Can they go to that level?
Go ahead.
You know, for looking at Florida's lineup, it's a lot like Florida should have to worry about the Leafs lineup up front, because obviously Barkov's Barkov and Reinhardt's Reinhardt. But, you know, the second line with Sam Moskevich and Evan Rodriguez, and, you know, beyond that, it's Finland with Lutzerainen and Lundell.
They play heavy, though. They do play heavy.
That's what
Lundell
I mean by Finland.
Plays heavy.
That's what I mean by Finland.
Yeah.
But those guys should have to worry about, are they going to be able to catch Willie and stop Matthews and contain Marner? And, you know, like it's.
But past that,
I know.
Like I'm watching McMahon last night, and I think you got to go back 6 games before he had a shot on goal. I think he had one shot on goal last night. He's two weeks. He's
too
not been
streaky. He needs to find a game where he's not scoring and he's helping.
You know, this may be blasphemy, but I'd rather face Florida in the first round than Tampa.
I would too, for sure. No doubt about it. Well, particularly with Tkachuk out. Kachuk back changes that math for me.
And listen, like, people can clip that and play it like they did the We Want Florida thing, and when they actually chanted they wanted Boston too.
Yeah.
But they like to pick the one that they had Florida. Florida, scary, no question. A lot of miles. They've played a ton of hockey. That one scares me less than Tampa right now.
A 6'3 guy like Brad Treliving. 6'3",
yeah.
A forward.
Kipper
6'3".
Just wants some
get
mutants.
A winger, get a centerman, get somebody minimal.
Trent Frederick.
6'3".
Yeah.
Lawson Kraus.
Utah's going for it.
Go get that guy. Go get that guy.
I want
horses.
Is he physical?
He is.
He's big.
He is big.
What's the other guy you
Utah's
like from there?
4 points out of playoffs.
McBain? You like McBain?
I like McBain.
Yeah.
Yes.
McBain.
Yeah, I'm in on
Can
McBain.
Can you get McBain?
Yeah. You just want to build the biggest team ever.
I just want big.
I do just look at that third line, and it does feel.
The third line's not going to be the third line. It cannot be the third line.
Okay.
Like right now for the Leafs, you've got McMahon, who had been driving that line, who's not playing well with Domi and Robertson. Mm-hmm. By the time you're in playoffs, I like to think it's McMahon and I think I said the other day, who's a good center that you like out there? Lawton and Pacioretty. Or it's different, it's bigger.
Like you got to remember, too, Max Pacioretty gave you everything he had for about 45 games, and then the guy ran out of gas.
Boy, did he.
But in those 45,
did he give it?
He was a mule.
But can he give it to you for...
No, he's done.
20 more?
He's done. No.
He's not going to play again this year?
I don't know if he's going to play this anymore, but can you count on it?
No.
Right? So,
He threw a couple of the biggest hits the Leafs have seen since Phaneuf was here.
He broke.
He did.
He broke down.
Yeah.
So where are you now with 20 games thinking you're going to count on that in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Yeah, and
I give him full credit because he didn't even come close his whole career to giving what he gave physically to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it'd be fun to get him back in the lineup if he could keep doing it, but I don't know where he is with his shoulders and his back. They could be done.
all things equal right now, McMahon, Domi, Robertson is not the Leafs' third line in playoffs. Mark my words.
That was kind of proven last night.
Yes. It definitely will not be.
They can play against bad teams. Like, they've looked good against Chicago and points. Pittsburgh, and like, you need to win those games too. But when it comes to the big boy hockey, I don't necessarily think that they have a ton.
Mikko Rantanen, is there any thought, update, whatever? We had a small chat in the group where I was saying, you know, in my fantasy brain, I've cooked up this world for the Leafs where it's like, Tavares' money comes off the books. Cap goes up. You could have Marner and Rantanen.
I said that on the morning show.
You did?
I did.
I mean, it's mathematically possible.
I had to, like, help Gunner up off the floor. He was a mess. He was a puddle. He was worse than you, Sammy.
Yeah, he is worse than me.
Yeah, he's worse than you.
No, like, question.
Relax. There's still time, buddy.
Yeah.
But the last thing I heard coming into this show was there was two or three legit teams right now talking to Carolina, and the Leafs were one of them. So I don't know where it goes. I don't know how serious it gets, but Dallas, I heard, Vegas.
Oh, my God.
Florida.
Oh, my God.
And Toronto were the four teams that I had heard.
You know,
the problem is
they need a player.
I don't think Carolina is going to get what they think that they can get.
So there's
and then they got to make a hard decision on keeping him or just get what we can get. But the Leafs
I think they keep him.
The Leafs are not in a position right now to strip roster players off to get him.
No.
Because then it becomes a little counterproductive, right?
Yeah. No, you need it as an addition, not a instead of. Go ahead. Unless they would take Tavares plus prospects or whatever, and then you
Tavares won't go.
No, he won't go, and then you've asked him to, and it's awkward. And even if you bring Rantanen in with Tavares here, then Tavares knows he's gone after the season. That's no good either. It's not happening. It's fantasy.
Unless.
I love that word.
You commit to a 8-year deal, mm-hmm. and you give up Knies. That's the only way I see it. I don't think they would take McMahon. Mm-mm. And then think about it. Outside of the core four, mm-hmm. who else is there to give?
I did have the thought, like, would they, like, if you could guarantee, like, Marner would extend there or something, would they flip those two? It's like, that's not happening. Why would Marner do that? He'll just go to UFA.
So that's
that
right.
Doesn't work.
That's right.
So
there's no choice. Like, there's nothing.
Yeah.
Even McMahon wouldn't even be coming close to maybe what someone thought of him maybe 2 weeks ago.
No, you're right.
But I think we're all in agreement here that if Mikko Rantanen would commit 8 years to the Toronto Maple Leafs, if you had to include Matthew Knies in that deal, that's a deal you make
bye-bye
10 times out of 10.
100%.
And that, I think, would excite Carolina.
Well, it should. That's a nice hockey player talking about who's 22 years old or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Outside of that, I like
Dallas. You know,
I like Dallas.
Brindamore would like.
I like Knies. Dallas. Ben's coming off the books. They've got lots of room to bring him in and keep him as well. And no good tax.
Heiskanen and him, Finnish boys.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yes.
I got to ask, though, because I got trade. You know, I'm just been thinking about what's the word I'm looking for?
Fatigue.
Not fatigue. What's the other one I'm looking for? Envy. Mm. Trade envy. You know, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the 1 year that they really got splashy and Kyle Dubas seemed like he was a little bit at his wit's end and who was actually calling the shots, and then he ends up leaving. Ryan O'Reilly comes in. Luke Shen comes
in.
They win. Noel Achari comes in. They took some big swings, and that was really exciting as a fan. And it just – could they just make the big swing? Like, can they just put their you-know-what on the table and make the big, crazy decision?
Yeah.
That it's just been so safe for 8 years – where it's like, we'll stick with these guys. Okay, we'll fire the general manager. Okay, we'll fire the coach. Okay, we'll do this. Put your on the table and make the big, big swing.
And it's funny.
Risk
it. You look at Tampa Bay, and yesterday everyone shared their first-round picks over the past 8 years.
Who cares?
One guy, no one cares. Vegas, their first round picks that they've made over the past, whatever, 8-9 years, they've traded every single guy they drafted.
Yes.
You know, save for maybe one. So it's like, yeah, these guys have made big moves. They've had success. They've won cups. They've been contenders. It would be nice.
Trying and failing will yield less regret than failing to try.
Oh, thank you, Confucius. What was that from?
Kipper was
Ryan Holiday?
I've never seen anyone Google harder over yeah. there. This guy's just.
I love that saying.
It's a fantastic
Aurelius?
Saying.
Who was that?
Love that saying.
But do you know what I mean? Like, Leaf fans have had to watch specifically.
So loved and lost?
Specifically in their division, Florida make big swings, Tampa make big swings. In the 1 year, like I said, the Leafs made big swings. They had their most success they've ever had, and it was awesome and it was exciting. It wasn't a ton of success. Don't get me wrong.
Tampa.
What do you mean Tampa?
That's Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa. I know.
Tampa. That's Tampa. That's.
Yeah, but why can't that be the Leafs?
It can be.
No, it can't. It's because
the market is so critical.
Every single guy that comes out, they're like, that's going to cost, that might cost ownership of the Leafs to get that guy on the Leafs. It's like, it's just so concentrated here with all the values and all the stuff that these little Florida teams, they just get to make all these little decisions. And
I will say, if you're another team and you're going to trade a big name and it's Mikko Rantanen or whatever, you don't want to get the trade wrong to Toronto.
For sure.
It is going to be 10 times more highlighted, scrutinized.
Great point.
It's like, that's not the place you want to take your risk to. I'd rather make it over there, Florida. Let's see if David Dwork picks it up from the Florida Sentinel.
Yeah, like, honestly.
And if he doesn't, we're in the clear.
I
think I got his name wrong. Sorry, David.
I'm going to be sick if Rantanen ends up in Florida. Like, that will legitimately be sick.
I think it's a long shot, too.
I think it's a long shot that he goes anywhere, but they've pulled stuff off.
I know. I hear you.
Just do something big. The fans are dying for it. Who cares about picks, man? Who cares? Oh, the 2027 first, a guy that's going to contribute in 8 years. Who cares?
We're going to be covered. It's bad
teams.
God,
I'm going to be, buddy.
If you're the GM.
Buddy, I'm going to be in a hut in the forest in 8 years. I don't care. Just trade it.
Thanks. Are you our first caller on Leaf
Line?
Sorry,
man. This has been Sam from Owen Sound.
I just watch everybody else make all the trades. Anyways, I'm done.
Okay.
Let's take a
deep breath.
Yeah, we got some good calls.
We got some good callers, do we not?
We do. We have three or four.
After the break, watching and listening to Sammy McKee crying.
Sorry.
Back after these words.
Everything you need to know about the Blue Jays, Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Yeah, Sammy, I do believe that the Leafs are not out of it. Mm-hmm. And they're like a number of teams right now, I believe, that are trying to convince Carolina that we'd like to help you out. We're willing to give you pieces. We just don't want to upset our team. And there isn't, we don't have Nakash.
Natchez.
We don't have a Natchez to give you. Like,
no.
Like, you did for Rantanen.
But it can be Nyes is a younger version of a guy who's like this.
The Leafs, I don't think, are going to go there.
No. For the record, I wouldn't have traded Nyes.
Right, and yeah, in short term, you could look at and say Rantanen is better than Nyes today, and he may have given us a better chance today with his experience and just, you know, where he is.
He's an elite point guy.
Can we get him and keep Nyes? And now how much better are we?
So much. But.
So it's like, are you going to push hard for that margin or do you want the bigger margin?
Buddy, I want the big margin.
Yeah, everybody, every Leaf fan wants the bigger margin. Yeah. It depends now on, for the Leafs, it depends on not so much what they're offering Carolina, but what others are. Mm-hmm. And if they're in the ballpark and they all not collude, but they all go to back to Carolina and say, you're not getting what you thought, but there's still enough here so you don't feel like you got nothing when he leaves mm-hmm. in July, then we're in the game.
And I stand by the point I made to Sam, though. If it is Dallas, Vegas, and Toronto, and all the whatever, and all the packages are close, you don't want to make the deal with Toronto. You don't want that smoke. You don't want to hear about it every day, right? I mean, you would have to like the package more than the other packages. All things equal.
It all depends on your scouting staff and how much you feel like you love Cowan or Minton or anything Dallas or Florida or Vegas need to throw to you.
You know, then you start to think, could the Leafs trade Cowan and or Minton to another team for someone that Carolina likes? You know what I mean? Like, you go out and you trade those guys for who's Carolina like, that's a good player. You know, someone off a bad team, a high-end guy, Brock Nelson, but not Brock Nelson, a younger version. Make a three-way deal.
Feels like a lot in 24 hours, boys.
You're hoping it's not been 24 hours. You're hoping it's been the last 72 or 96.
And then the Leafs would have to sign Rantanen, which I would think
good.
$13 million.
Okay.
13.25, 13.5.
Matching contracts, him and Marner, bing, bing. Day after the trade deadline.
Done.
Day after the trade deadline, bang.
Anyway, Tavares goes, where's my money? You go, keep playing.
that's where that is right now.
Right.
With tick, 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 tick.
I know.
I have something to say here.
Oh, boy.
That's a little bit, it's a cross-sport reference, so baseball reference here. I am getting a bit of Jay's off-season vibes.
Oh, no.
From Brad for Living right now, where.
In on it.
Shooting for the moon. We're talking Ohtani, Rantanen. We're talking Juan Soto, Brock Nelson. We're talking these big names. Corey Bellinger.
Really like
Corey Bellinger. Braden Shen.
Yeah.
And they get none of those guys, and it's like, I hope you like Justin Turner, Luke Kunin. You know, it's like, I really feel like they're focusing on the high, high end.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work out, you're left holding the fourth line left winger of the San Jose Sharks. Or Brandon Tanev, who I like, but, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't change the outlook. Anyways, that was my last thought. Let's go to a call. This is a great call. Let's go to Bruce in Scarborough.
So this message is meant directly for one particular Canadian, Chief. Chief, I think that the team is starting to play like the old Maple Leafs used to play. And it's up to you to change this. They're shooting on empty nets when they should be defending. They're showing up and not trying to chase down pucks, rather trying to easily take pucks and go score on the other goal. This is not Maple Leaf hockey that Craig Berube would appreciate. We saw what you can do at the beginning of the year. And when the team was suffering because they didn't have an Austin Matthews, we saw the team come together, roll four lines, and play Craig Berube hockey. Now they're extending shifts. Now they're out there trying to get their cookies. You have four lines, Craig. We have a playoff series coming up, Craig. We need Craig Berube hockey.
Thanks to Kip's dad for that one.
Bruce used a cookie reference.
I heard that call today, and I think there's something to that. I think they played at the start of the year a lot of Berube hockey.
Craig.
But I just thought there's something to that. I did. Do you guys agree?
I think there's been a bit of a dip. The part that I take away from it is that what we have seen from Berube so far this year is maybe different from what we thought we would see. And some of that was that there was a little team A and team B. That's been a common criticism on this show. And I don't know that I sit here today feeling like there's been some uniting of that force. You know, we talked early in the season about how it was a much heavier dump and chase team. I don't feel like they're quite as dump and chase oriented of late. So I think there's something to this.
Craig Berube hockey.
Yeah, I think there's something to that call.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good call.
Yeah.
very good call. I think that what probably Craig and the guys were able to do in November and December is kind of maybe too much of the same now in March. Teams adjust. Teams watch. They see patterns. They see, and for me, I think the caller's right, Bruce, that I'd like to see some adjustments. I'd like to see different looks. I'd like to see at times less dump and chase.
Okay.
And right now, I think the Leafs are very predictable. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't use that word, but I think that's what he was probably leaning towards.
I do wonder now, too, if they're kind of waiting for help, right? They know they're tied for first in the Atlantic. They know it's the deadline. They know Matthew said they need a pop. They've gotten a pop every year from someone. I wonder if some of these guys right now are going, okay, we need, what are you doing?
And the other thing he mentioned, the extended shifts. I'm like, I'm watching it again, guys.
Power play cookies are out of control.
And I'm like, it's, he's relying on his four guys way too much. And then I know he's made comments like, oh, I kind of got guilty of overplaying them a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that should not happen
at
this time of year.
No, I think you're right. And I do think that there's something, it's so important to leave the next line in a good spot. And I think when you change early, you know, you can get the puck in deep. And even if you have some legs, I think that there's something to that too. So yeah, I'm on board with the call.
We have one more quick one. We have a lot more, but we talked a lot today. Sorry, it's newsy time, Leafs line. We'll get back into it next week. But let's go to John Doe from Prince George.
Just want to say you guys snickered at the kid that they signed out of Prince George. Don't be sleeping on that kid. He's a fun kid to watch. But also I'm reading that the Leafs are willing to trade Matthew Nyes if Mikko Rantanen is willing to commit long-term. I just don't know if that makes sense. Like, you're trying to add to your bottom six, not trying to upgrade the top six. I don't know. I just don't like the fact that we'd give away Nyes for Mikko Rantanen, who's not been the same since he left Nathan MacKinnon. But who knows? That's probably why I'm not a GM. Anyway, I just want to hear your guys' thoughts.
I think we kind of covered this, did we not?
But Matthew Nyes is the reason I want to play that. He is beloved by the fan base. He has really ingratiated himself as like the first non-core four guy to come in here and make an impact.
Yeah.
And like that call from John Doe and Prince George, I'm just assuming it's Prince George because Prince George was where that kid plays that the Leafs signed.
Yeah.
Still don't know his name, unfortunately. But
Borja Vallis.
Yeah. You know, you know, talk about taking a risk. That's a big risk. I would love them to do it, but that's a big one.
I think I can safely say that if the Leafs find a way to get Rantanen, it won't be at the expense of moving Nyes.
Okay.
And I'll say that you would like to upgrade the bottom six, but if you can improve the top six, you do that first. I think that's something you would willingly do. No, I think that's all I need to say about that. Borja Vallis, 59 games played, 30-44 for 74 points, 44 PIMs for the Prince George Cougars.
Nice.
Stolarz in Colorado, right? Start?
Yeah.
Or would you go back to Wall, Joseph Wall, to kind of rectify a bad night?
I think I need to know how Stolarz' knee's holding up. Are we pushing this recovery? Is it swelling up after he's playing? Is everything okay? If he's okay, go back.
Yeah, Monday in Utah, that's screaming Joe Wall to me.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, Stoller's been the better goalie. It's a premier start against one of the best teams in the league, Hockey Night in Canada. He's earned that.
And it's another measuring stick game. We talked about those. This Avs team's not messing around.
Yeah.
Okay, our thanks to no one except the three of us.
And John Doe, Prince George, and Bruce and Scarborough.
Yes, those are our real guests. When we return, top of the hour, we go national, figure out what's going on with the Edmonton Oilers with our favorite analyst out in Alberta, Rob Brown.
Yep.
Will join us.
Why,
plenty more. What's that?
Why? What's going on in Edmonton?
What's going on in Edmonton?
I'd love to know.
We'll find out when we return. Real Kipper and Bourne.